from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. This is your episode for Wednesday, January 10th. I am Chris Clark. I am the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com and a staff writer for Arrowhead Addict.
Hey, and this is Ryan Tracy, founder of Rogue Analytics and analyst over at ChiefsDigest.com. Glad you guys are with us. Some things are starting to go on in Kansas City.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very interesting, to say the least, to see where Kansas City is going to end up going in the near future, because they named a new offensive coordinator today in Eric Bieniemy, which I know you're thrilled about.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm pretty pumped. Plenty to discuss here, but we want to make sure you're subscribed to the show. Tell your friends, get subscribed to the show. There's a lot of stuff that's going to go on with this team in this offseason. We're going to cover each and every step of it, starting today with the news about Eric Bieniemy, but also all through the draft, all through the scouting combine, the whole entire thing. And we really want you all along for the ride. It's been a great season in 2017, and we're going to ride it straight through the offseason to OTAs in 2018. The thing that excites me is obviously roles are going to shift a little bit, but I think whether or not Eric Bieniemy eventually calls the plays is going to be dependent on the success of the run game. And I think it doesn't, it's not a requirement for him to call the plays himself, to be an influence towards running the ball more and hopefully staying with some consistent balance better than they have in the past.
Well, and I would make the argument, you know, Seth Kizer's usually with us on Thursdays. This week he couldn't get it. We couldn't make that happen. He will be back next week. But if you go check out his timeline at Real M&N Chiefs Fan on Twitter, he tweeted he gifted every single play of the second half for the Chiefs. And one thing that stuck out to me, and this is really where I'm going with this, is that Alex Smith is the one that left plays on the field. The play calling might have suffered in maybe one or two calls, especially the third and two speed option or whatever you want to call that. But otherwise, Alex Smith is the one that really hampered them in a lot of ways in that second half.
Now, I haven't seen anything from Seth just because I'm not in the home studio. I'm out on the road, and it makes things a little bit more difficult for me. But I assume when you guys talk about that what you see is open receivers, open zones that he did not either pull the trigger on or pulled and did not complete the pass.
Well, basically what you see is there's several different instances of a receiver coming open that he did not even target. There's a specific play in particular where Demetrius Harris is curling around a linebacker, and the linebacker is facing the other direction, opposite of what Harris is curling around. And Smith is looking right at him and doesn't pull the trigger. There's nobody else around him. If he throws high, that's the only possibility of it being intercepted, because there's a safety coming from 10 yards away. But as long as he puts the ball on the receiver, that ball is either being caught or it's going to the ground. It would have given them a first down. This is going into the field goal try that Butker missed. Just a big play. And, you know, he had a play right after that to Albert Wilson as well, where he's looking right at the throw and just decided not to make it. You cannot have those types of plays, especially in a playoff game.
Yeah, and that's fair. I have not seen the All-22 yet, and I'll definitely be doing my own review as well. But long and short, if it's not a new story, we've seen this in the past, and that is part and parcel of having 11 as your starting quarterback. And I'm still of the opinion, despite what I'm seeing in a lot of the reported media, I'm still of the opinion that Alex Smith is not on this roster in 2018. I think the cost savings is just too stark to allow that to happen. And so really what you have to think about is Patrick Mahomes with his youth going to be able to take advantage of those right away? And I think we saw from his start.
Without a doubt.
Well, I'm not so sure. I think we saw from his first start that some of those things are not as readily apparent as his gunslinger reputation might lead you to believe. So I think it's something that we may have to have 2018 to let him grow into taking those.
Well, I guess where I'm going with that is that in those two specific plays, if Pat Mahomes is looking right at those wide receivers, the ball is on him. And there's no defender that has a chance to make a play on the ball because the throw is only maybe 15 yards tops, and it's a clear line of sight. That ball is getting thrown. But, you know, whether or not he pulls the trigger, that's neither here nor there. To me, it's a matter of when he is ready to play at a high level, which I don't think will take as long as some people think it might, he is going to make those throws.
Yeah, and that's a very exciting thing to see. I think the interesting thing that'll go hand in hand in that is what does Eric Bieniemy want to emphasize with that? As a coordinator stepping up from the running back coach position, it's not just about the five guys in his room any longer. And so I'm interested because Eric Bieniemy's a brash personality. He's an aggressive coach, much like we talked about yesterday, aggression that they need. He's going to bring some of that. And I'm interested to see what his influence is as not a quarterback coach, but as an offensive coordinator that doesn't necessarily work with the quarterbacks. I think what he can bring is some of that intensity and aggression that he's so known for. And I look forward to seeing what kind of effect that has on Pat Mahomes as well.
I guess to me, I don't think aggression is something that you're going to have to worry about Pat Mahomes not having. I think it's toning down the aggression. And, you know, we'll see how it plays out. I think that he's had a lot of time to learn from Alex Smith, and that has been a very beneficial thing for him at this point in his career.
Yeah, I agree. Now, one thing that I am concerned with, and it's a comment from Jeff Schwartz, and honestly, I hope that he's incorrect, but Jeff Schwartz has not been incorrect about very much in his commentary about Kansas City in particular. But a tweet from a few hours ago, it's Tuesday night as we're recording this, fairly late. And that is that with this hire, it's going to be Reed still calling the plays, but that he feels that Heck will still handle the run game. And I'm not as comfortable with Andy Heck running the run game himself without Eric Bieniemy around, specifically for the run aspect, because I think part of the problem with this offensive line is that it's too much based on finesse. I want the Chiefs to help themselves out, that if they're going to run the ball, that they have some more aggression about it. They need a nasty player, much like any number of guys that have not come through this organization. And leaving that in the hands of Andy Heck, I think, probably puts less of an edge in terms of the nasty aspect, the dominant aspect of the run game along the offensive line.
I can't argue there. And I think that you look at what is going on, and, you know, at this point, we still don't know about the defensive coordinator position. It's been talked about that there is going to be a change there, but that hasn't been announced. With Andy Heck, the question becomes, is that even being talked about? I haven't heard anything. You would hope that they would look at it as a continued hole, that they would figure out, okay, where did we really struggle? Is this something that's more coaching, or is it the players? And I think you're going to have to sit down and look and say, really, it's the players. I mean, look at who they have. They have a guy, they have two guys that could certainly be Pro Bowlers, I think, in the near future, and Mitch Morrison, LDT. You have Mitchell Schwartz. So it's not like you don't have talent on the line. I think Fisher is good. I don't know that he's Pro Bowl level, but you know, you have four guys that I think could really do well, but they haven't. There's not been the continuity, and two, you don't have that aggression. You don't have that type of position coach that has really been able to get the best out of them.
Yeah, and I'm hoping they can supplement with some changes of the staff going on, supplement with another coach, an assistant, or something like that. I don't see them making a wholesale change, but I think there's definitely an aspect of that that needs to be changed. One thing we haven't heard about that is starting to roll in other areas is the defensive coordinators out there taking new jobs, being promoted. It looks like as of Tuesday evening that Mike Pettine, it looks to be getting an offer from the Green Bay Packers. I think he was probably one of the premier options out there. If you wanted to bring in a new DC and you're not trying to stir Rex out of retirement. So with him off the board, if this report is indeed true, it's narrowing some options for the Chiefs. And I think that's limiting what they may have alternatives for Bob Sutton.
Well, and that's certainly possible. The real question that I'm going to have regarding that is whether or not there's guys on the playoff teams that are still available that could come and be that defensive coordinator for you. And you have several guys that are going to be out there that don't currently have jobs. Gus Bradley is one of them. Jack Del Rio is one of them. And I'm not saying you go to that direction. I'm just saying those are two guys that are out there now. I think there's going to be more guys that could be out there in the near future.
And that may be that very well may be true. In fact, I'm trying to find it now, but a follower of mine asked the question today whether a move to a 4-3 might be in the Chiefs' future. And certainly, I can't say that anything's going to be beyond them, but they already play in a four-man front a predominant amount of time. And they do that so that they can use more defensive backs. I don't see them making a full-time switch to a 4-3 only because
I would hate it.
I personally don't wouldn't prefer it either, but I don't think anybody else does, especially if the defensive staff remains the same, because they'd much rather run out of a 4-2 base in the big nickel than go to a three linebacker set, especially when you don't have a guy that's a true Sam.
Well, that's the whole thing to me, is that you finally got all the pieces there for a good 3-4 defense, except for maybe a nose tackle. I think you have the defensive lineman. I think, you know, R&R and Chris Jones can be your ends. I think Alan Bailey can still be that guy. Maybe you need a nose tackle. Maybe Benny Logan isn't going to be your answer. Maybe you find somebody else. But I think you have, you know, a great base in your linebackers and Justin Houston, Reggie Ragland, and Kevin Pierre-Lewis. I think those are going to be three guys that would really be out of – obviously Justin Houston could go back to right end, but I don't think – or could go back to a defensive end, but I don't think it's his best position. And I don't think you make him – I don't think you want to make him make that change right now. It changes too many things on your defense.
Well, no, and let's be realistic. He's never played that other than in a nickel position. He played a 3-4 outside linebacker in college. That's what he is. And what we saw from Reggie Ragland in trying to transition to a 4-3 in Buffalo is that it did not come naturally. It limited what he was able to do in terms of his performance. And I think that's, again, a change to a 4-3 is taking this particular talent group of players and taking them out of their comfort zone and out of their performance zone.
No, I absolutely agree, and I think that that's something you do not want to go and do. I think you leave this group the way it is constructed for the most part, you know, your core components anyway. And maybe Alan Bailey isn't back next year. I would like to see him back next year, but maybe, you know, he's a cap casualty. But I still think you have enough pieces there that you don't want to change. You want to stay at a 3-4. And you can go find a coach that's going to be able to take that over and do well with the pieces they have as long as they're aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have no confirmation at this point that Bob is completely gone. Rumors, some fake Ian Rappaport accounts out there.
I was going to mention that if you didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like there are some fans that really want to put that message out there if they're making fake Ian Rappaport accounts. But we don't have any confirmation of that. Still hopeful that that's going to turn around. And like you said, maybe they're waiting for a playoff coach right now. I know a couple of the Patriots assistants are very well thought of. So maybe that could be something that's happening, or maybe Andy's on the phone with Rex right now.
Just shut it. Just stop. Please just stop. It's funny that, you know, you talk about Rex Ryan, and I don't think that's going to be something that is probably going to happen. I just don't think the fit is there. But we do have some other Chiefs news that we ought to probably talk about.
Hit me.
They signed Jace Amaro to a reserve future contract today.
Ah, Jace Amaro, originally drafted by the Jets. Had some early, a couple of nice catches, if I remember correctly, but never really a season worth speaking of. So definitely a developmental type, I would say. not necessarily a number two, but probably a third string, someone to compete with Orson Charles.
Possibly. Yeah, and they may look at him as somebody that they can mold into a number two. It really just depends. He had second round talent. Now, yes, talent evaluators get it wrong all the time, but everything I looked at, because I looked at several things today, all had him in a second or third round. That means there is talent there. It's whether or not they can get the talent out of him.
Yeah, I agree. And that's probably the thing that precludes him from being a number two. I just don't see that after this amount of time in the league, they were going to get him to miraculously develop to that talent level where he could run in tandem and be an upgrade threat over what they have in Harris. And don't get me wrong, I think that's one of their bigger positions of need, maybe number four.
Well, and maybe it's not over Harris. Maybe you're right. Maybe it is just a number three. I guess where I'm going with that is that some coaches aren't the best for some players. And in my opinion, it's possible that, and we're going to see this with a lot of reserve future signings. Spencer Ware is a great example of a guy that, was in another place, got signed to a reserve future deal, and look at where he was. He was going to be the starting running back this year.
And it'll be very interesting to see how he's dealt with next season.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, I know we're a Chiefs show, folks. That's never going to change, but we are going to talk about the league in general at times during this offseason. So we're going to talk about the draft. And one really interesting thing actually came to fruition today.
What's that?
The Raiders have a new coach, and his name's John Gruden.
Well, we've kind of known that was coming for the past couple of weeks, or the past week at least. John Gruden is going to be the new coach. I would think that we'll see how that hire is going to end up. I'm not so sure. He hasn't coached in 10 years, so is he going to be able to be successful? Who knows? Has the game passed him by? Just because you're sitting there and you're watching tape and doing that doesn't mean that you're going to be able to be successful. And some would argue that he wasn't as successful in Tampa Bay when he won the Super Bowl as some would think he
Real
was.
Real quick, over under 8.5 games.
8.5 games. They went over 8.5 games?
In 2018.
Over.
Okay,
over.
I'll take the over as well.
Mainly because of Derek Carr, not really necessarily because of the coaching change.
Well, I think they go hand in hand.
I still think, well, and maybe, but they have a ton of work to do on their defense that they've got to get figured out. They're going to have to sign Khalil Mack to a deal in this offseason, and that's going to be a huge deal. And they're going to have to let a lot of people go that they've signed in the past because they're not going to have the money to pay him.
Yeah, that's the thing. By paying Khalil Mack, you pretty much have to cut his bookend in Bruce Irving. Well, you got to look at somebody now to take some of that blocking attention away from Mack, or by signing him to that huge contract, you actually reduce his productivity.
Right, which sounds kind of familiar to something that happened in Kansas City. Justin Houston. No, I do think that they're going to be better next year, but it really depends on, it was Derek Carr that we had 2 years ago, or is he Derek Carr that we had this year? Which one's the real one?
I have to think it's the 2016 version.
Well, and an argument can be made for that. An argument can be made the other direction as well. It just, we're going to have to find out. And is Gruden going to be the guy to get him, to get the most out of him? I'm not so sure.
I have a tendency to think for the younger brother of a former NFL quarterback who maybe didn't get pushed as hard. If I'm a Raiders fan, I really like this hire.
You also really like running the ball a lot, and that doesn't seem to happen in Kansas City. So,
yeah, well, if wishes were rainbows, buddy.
You'd be happy because they'd be running the ball a lot more.
Let me call the script. Just the first 15 plays. One time, Andy, I promise.
Yeah, no. Sherman and Ware and Kareem Hunt would all be on the field at the same time with the six offensive linemen. The
reverse wishbone? Come on, let's talk.
And you'd make Travis Kelce your quarterback just so you had more.
He can wildcat. We've seen it.
Exactly. See, I'm not talking crazy because I already know what you would do.
My 1925 offense will be in full effect.
this is why I don't encourage you. And on that note, I think we are done for the evening. Thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. Go leave us an iTunes rating or review. We really appreciate those, and we will be getting back to reading those in the near future.
Hey, thank you all for listening. Keep it up. Tell your friends. We will talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.